Good evening. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. The book of Acts, chapter number 5. God good?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So we're going to see something tonight that I actually, through this afternoon, as I was going through it, saw something that I never seen before. And you guys have probably seen it, and if you have, rejoice with me. Those who haven't, rejoice with me anyway. We're going to read chapter number 5, and we're going to go down to verse number 12, and then grab chapter number 4, and we're going to be reading in chapter 4, verse number 31. Let's go ahead and read. But first, let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, again, it is a great privilege to be in your house, to be able to stand behind this pulpit that you've allowed me to be in. And thank you, Lord, for the times that you have allowed me to present your word. And so, God, I pray tonight that I would continue to be faithful in studying, faithful in preaching what you want me to preach. God, I pray that you just speak to our hearts tonight, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Book of Acts, chapter number 5, verse number 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband." Wow. You guys just read what I read. Within 3 hours, two people died. Two people were buried. These guys are busy. I tell you what, that would cause me to wake up if I was around this scene. Verse number 11, it says, "And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." Okay, I gave the illustration a couple weeks ago. As the lame man laid outside the city of Jerusalem by the temple, he was at the gate called Beautiful. I had the privilege of being inside of Old Jerusalem. That still exists to this day. And where the third temple will be, a mosque sits there now. I was not able to walk in those grounds because the Palestinians own that piece of land. Just on the east side of the mosque is the Wailing Wall. That's where they send their prayers, and they have such a desire to get back in and have that third temple built. So picture with me as you see this beautiful gate. The best way to describe it would be the doors coming in into the lobby. So they're outside of the temple, they're in the temple's vicinity, and then Solomon's porch, as you open the doors, would be Solomon's porch. They're right by the temple. And they're there with each other, and they're in one accord. I've noticed something that has taken place in the first 5 chapters. One, they met in a room, they prayed, and they're in one accord. People were healed, and now you're seeing some more things take place that we saw in chapter number 4. Why are we at the place right now with Ananias and Sapphira? I will explain this. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 4, and we'll read verse number 31 down through the end of the chapter. Again, this is after they healed the lame man. They were put in prison for a night. They were wanting to shut up Peter, and they didn't like what he was doing. They didn't like what he was teaching, because remember, they already put Jesus to death for the very things that they're preaching now. They put him to death for the miracles that he performed. They put him to death for the gospel that he preached. And now we're here at this point. And we saw in chapter number 4 the boldness that the disciples had during this time. And they had every right to have the boldness. Why? Because they had the Holy Spirit with them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing for you and I to be afraid of. We ought to have that great boldness. And so now, as we begin to go down and explain why we're in chapter number 5, why Ananias and Sapphira are in this position that they're in, starts right here. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And a multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of these sayings which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So we just read chapter number 5, what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. They had some possessions that was very dear to them, and it was expensive, probably. And so what they did, they sold that item that was close to them. It didn't say that they had a house. It didn't say that they specifically had land that they were selling at this point in time. It says they sold a possession. And with this being said, it goes back, verse number 2, it says, "and kept back part of the price," meaning what they profited off of their sale, they kept a part of that. What happened back in chapter number 4, as you've just read with me, it says some were possessors of lands, some were possessors of houses, and what do? They sold it, and then as we go down to Barnabas, he had his land, he sold it, and what do? They laid it at the feet of the apostles. There's a reason why this was laid at the feet of the apostles. We'll get into this a little bit later. But first, we're going to see how this affected Ananias and his wife in this story here. They kept back a certain part of what they had, and they kept it and didn't distribute it all at the apostles' feet. And Peter calls them out on this. And he says in verse number 3, he says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" One thing that I get out of this story right here, when the church was being added to, they sold their possessions and they met daily with one another. I'm come to the conclusion that Ananias and his wife didn't meet daily with these folks. They were believers, they were Christians, but maybe they were part-time believers. Maybe they were part-time Christians, because we see what they've done. They didn't give all of their profit. They kept back part of their profit. And when you don't allow yourself to gather around with God's people, and let's put it this way, when you ignore God's word, what is going to happen? You're allowing Satan permission in your life to tempt you. Which is why it's important for you and I to be guarding our heart that God has given us. Once we let our guard down, Satan's going to come in and he's going to tempt us. And it might be something small and it might be something big, but I will guarantee you and promise you this, he will tempt you. And so with this being said, they at this point in time didn't have everything in common with the previous people that was added to the church. And it goes on, it says, they lied to the Holy Ghost. And this was their sin. It wasn't the fact that they lied to Peter at this point in time. Peter is now pointing out the fact, you lie to the Holy Ghost. By the way, we can't get nothing by the Holy Ghost because he already knows our thoughts. He knows the number of hairs in our heads. He knows the things that we keep in our closets that we call skeletons. He knows all those things. So it would be better for you and I just to get it out and just be up front and say, yeah, I take ownership of this. I'm not proud of it. I'm not going to revel in it, but I take ownership of this, and we'd be in a better place for that. So he points out, you've lied to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but who? But unto God. First he points out the Holy Ghost, and now he's pointing out that he lied unto God. And so now Ananias is faced with the truth. It is thrown back in his face. And now here's what happens in verse number 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, say it with me, he did what? Fell down and gave up the ghost. First of all, we have to understand Ananias, according to Scripture, was not sick. He didn't have cancer. He didn't have any heart disease. He wasn't diabetic. What happened was a sin that was in his life at this point in time. He could not bear it. And now because of this, he gave up the ghost. He died. Death came upon his body because of a sin that he did unto the Lord and unto the Holy Ghost. It says, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And now there is probably people in hearing distance. I have to tell you, to help you to understand this a little bit better, the acoustics in Jerusalem will astound you. You can be a block away and you can almost hear somebody talk. I kid you not. It's phenomenal. And so they heard what was going on with Peter and Ananias. And now they are scared. They're fearful for what has come upon them. Now, verse number 6, it says, the young men arose. So obviously you had some strong, strapping young men that were around. And Jewish custom, they don't wait 3 to 4 days to bury somebody. They bury them within 24 hours. That's what they do. I had a good friend of mine. They were not Jewish by any means, but their father passed away, and immediately they called the funeral home. The funeral home came in and put him in the casket that they had for him and buried him within a day. And I thought that was kind of strange, but at the same time, I thought that was nice, because I hate having that vision of somebody in the casket. I do. I can't stand it. It's just one of those things that keeps me awake at night. And I know death is a part of life. I understand those things, but I just don't like it. Just to let you know, if I was to die suddenly, I told my daughter, hey, unstitch my mouth, put a smile on my face, and close the casket. That's how I want you to remember me. But because I'm not here, I'm happy. I'll be in the presence of the Lord. But anyway, it says fear came upon him. So the young men, they arose, they wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Why did this come about? Because they kept back part of a possession. They didn't tell the whole truth. They were caught in a lie. Now, here's the interesting part of this story, and it says, it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, she had no idea that Peter confronted her husband. She had no idea that her husband was caught in a lie. She had no idea that her husband gave up the ghost and is already buried. Within 3 hours, she did not know these things. By the way, It's very tasking to dig a grave in Israel. I know that they had tombs back in the day, just to go out and to dig is not something that we can that we do here very easily. It's very rocky there. And so the task that was ahead of these men at this point in time probably took them 3 hours to do what they needed to do. And so she's there. She comes in after 3 hours, not knowing what was done. And verse number 8, it says, "And Peter answered unto her." He corners her, and now he's questioning her. She's on the witness stand. She doesn't know what's taking place. And she says unto her, "Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Now, let's understand something. The price doesn't matter. What matters is they're lying. They've kept back a portion. They're not just lying to man, but as Peter pointed out, they're lying to the Holy Ghost. They're lying to God. And when that happens, there are consequences in our lives. I was known as a young person not telling the truth a lot in my life. And so people would call me an habitual liar. I'm not fond of that. I was ashamed of that as a child growing up. But I do know that my lies got me in trouble. You know what you do when you begin to lie? You lie to cover up that lie. And then you lie to cover up that lie to cover up that lie. And it's not a good process. Matter of fact, it's a very dangerous process, to be honest with you. And so after these 3 hours, he's talking to her, he's questioning her. He says, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, without hesitation, "Yea, for so much." Verse number 9, this is going to get even scarier. It says, "Then Peter said to her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband." Oh, now she's getting the news. First of all, if I was to walk into a house, the first thing that I'm going to do is look for my spouse. I'm coming home for the day, and I'm saying, "Honey, where are you?" And I'm not saying, "What's for dinner?" That doesn't happen. I'm saying, "Honey, where are you? How was your day?" Why? Because I've been away from her for 8 hours of the day, and I want to see her. And I look forward to those times when we see each other. And she didn't even ask these things. She didn't ask, "Where's my husband?" Peter goes on, and he says, "Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband at the door, and shall carry thee out." Now, here's the interesting thing that's taken place. She did not have time to mourn for her husband. Usually when somebody dies, there is a mourning process. Matter of fact, even in the Jewish custom, within the 24 hours, they will bury them, but they will have almost a week-long's worth of mourning. They really do. Their celebrations on weddings could last up to 2 weeks after the event takes place. So they do things differently than us. Let me rephrase that. We do things differently than them. That's what's taking place. And so as he says this, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. I notice one thing here. She didn't ask, "Well, how did my husband die? What happened? Did somebody come in and maybe stab him?" I wasn't aware of back in those days that they had guns. I couldn't imagine that. But usually when you died by death back then with battle, it'd be by a sword, it'd be by a spear, it'd be by a knife during those times, and possibly with rocks as well. And so she didn't ask those questions, and she did not have time to mourn. Here is what takes place immediately in her life. It says, "Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost." And the young men, they came back in. Think about this. They just probably spent 3 hours digging up a grave for her husband. Now, all of a sudden, she gave up the ghost. She no longer has life in her. And now they got to come back in. They got to wound her up, and they got to bury her. Verse number 11, again, it says, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Again, let's go back to chapter number 4, and we'll see why we're in this position. In chapter number 3 and chapter number 4, we read a great story about a man who was lame in his mother's womb. You guys remember that story? It wasn't that long ago. And two of the disciples came along as they're going into the temple, saw this lame man who was out there begging for money. And they didn't know what was going to take place. The man didn't know what was going to take place in his life. We hear that the eyes were locked upon each other. And through Peter, because of the greatness of God, the greatness of the Holy Spirit, Peter was able to heal this man, and he was able to walk. And it's not necessarily walking, but it says he jumped up leaping. That's amazing when you think about that. That's just, that astounds me. Because I've seen people who are crippled. I've seen people who cannot walk and be able to have strength in their bones to be able to do this right away. I do know of a man, this was probably about 20 years ago. He used to sit down here on the corner where this apartment complex is on Nash Boulevard. And he was always sitting out there, and Jeff knows who I'm talking about probably. He always sat out there in his wheelchair. And if you're out there, he would do anything to come up and talk to you. He was a lonely guy and had a dog with him on occasions, but we always saw him in a wheelchair. There was one day that I was working, I was at Hy-Vee during this time, and I saw this guy walk in. I was kind of freaked out, to be honest with you. I'm like, whoa. I went up to him and said, man, you can walk? When did this happen? And he looks at me and he says, well, I've always been able to walk, but I can only walk when my brain gets the signal. Apparently his brain misfired, and majority of his life he cannot walk. But when that brain gets the signal, he's able to walk. And I was like, wow, this is pretty crazy. I haven't seen him in a few years, but hopefully he's still able to walk, which is a great good thing. So this man, he was healed. So after they saw this great healing, the church was being added to. So we've read about this, and now what do? It says they went and sold their possessions. We got to understand something, that a lot of folks during this time are just like you and I. They have homes, they have land, and they had many different things that were of value. And so when they sold those things, they distributed at the apostles' feet. That's what was taking place. Not everybody sold their houses. Now, it says that they sold their houses. We got to understand that maybe they had multiple houses. Maybe they had multiple pieces of land. So they thought to themselves, hey, I've got something new in my life. I don't really need this piece of property. I don't need this piece of land anymore. And now I'm going to sell it because there's going to be something taking place. So I've asked myself this question. Why did they sell it and give the money to the apostles? Because it goes back to the lame man. That's what's taking place. It goes back to the needy Christians, ones who are not able to work, ones who are not able to fend for themselves. And so they're helping these folks to be beneficial in life, and they're creating a storehouse for them. They're being a help for them. And so this is why this was done. They caught this vision. When the Holy Spirit filled them, they caught this. But Ananias and Sapphira did not catch this. What happened was, in their life, they were greedy. Their greed overtook them. And to be honest with you, their greed took them to the grave. That's what happened in their life. But I cannot get over the fact that every time we see something at this point in time in the book of Acts, there's a couple things that happen. They prayed, the Holy Spirit filled them, and they were at the temple. That's what took place during these times. So I'm going to take a little bit of a different direction this evening, and I'm going to ask you guys to do some stuff tonight, because I believe it's very important. I believe that it's important for Open Door Baptist Church to have all things in common. I believe it's important for Open Door Baptist Church to be in one accord. Because I want to see God do some work in our lives. I want to see God flip this church upside down for the city of Council Bluffs, Iowa. And it's going to happen when we're in one accord with each other. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I have asked three gentlemen to come forward this evening, but before they do, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to pray to the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that these disciples and apostles prayed to. I'm going to ask you to do two things. One, I'm going to ask you to confess your sins to God. Not outwardly, that's not for us to know. You can pray privately right where you're at. The second thing I want you to do is ask God to work in your heart and life. And when that time has come forth, I'm going to have three guys come forward, and we're going to pray for three people specifically tonight that God has laid upon my heart. We have seen God work in the life of our pastor. We have seen God work in the life of his wife. We're seeing God work in other areas of this church. And now we have three people. There's a few more. And if they come to the mind of these gentlemen, hopefully they'll pray for them. But as of right now, there's three guys that God has laid upon my heart that need great physical healing in their lives. And the same Holy Spirit that was able to raise the lame man, the same Holy Spirit who convicts is still working in lives today. And so let's just take the next minute or two right where we're at and just talk to God. And when I feel it's done, I will ask these three gentlemen to come up.